Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome today to our blessings from Christ. We are always glad to see, I cherish every name I see on the board, and I've got most of you actually named by now. You know, some of you, I'm still getting just a number, but even the numbers are starting to sound familiar, so I always feel like I'm coming home when I get online on Sunday. You're my family, and I love you all very, very much. Can't wait to be here every Sunday, and I hope you feel the same way. So we're just letting the room warm up for just a few minutes to let more people have a chance to log in, and I'll be right with you. Okay, we are ready to roll. And I just want to say thank you for coming. It means a lot to me, but more than that, it means a lot to everyone else, because the solidity and the sincere, deep connection we make with one another is more important than you could ever imagine simply with your mind. Your soul knows, but your mind says, oh, well, all right, it sounds good, I'll do it. Your heart knows, and your heart says, you couldn't keep me away. So we have different response systems inside ourselves. And in every situation, I think it really pays to take a look at who's talking, who's influencing our decisions. This has been a year of learning about things of that nature, beginning with, the turn of the year. Mary and I really didn't have much of a Christmas. We sat at the dinner table and listened to music and exchanged some presents, but it wasn't much. It was just the thought from the heart that mattered. And then from that point on, it became increasingly challenging. And I began to think about something that I have been, that has been percolating through my mind the whole of this year, because there are so many friends that have gone to higher ground, so many friends I know that are in very challenged positions. There's been so much loss overall, and we've been put in a very hard place of choice. So one of my most frequent questions is, what do we take with us? Really? As I've been going through all the things that Larry left behind, I'm looking at them and I'm just seeing, well, these were just things. It doesn't take the place of Larry. And someone other than me might enjoy them more than I would. And I start making out gifts and sending gifts to his old friends and people we knew. And it feels good. It feels good just to do something from the heart. And finally, it really dawned on me. The only thing we keep is our love. Of course, Yeshua told me that back in the days when we were talking during the time I painted the Lamb and the Lion. And then I recollected it during the time I was writing Love Without End, when I was talking to him about, well, where do we go? And how do we know what to do when our life on this earth is ended? And he said, you will follow your love. Love is who you are. It's what tells you who or what to join with in life. And as you join in life, that shared love becomes really your only position. And so I had to take a long look at, well, gee, I don't need to keep anything because I've got the love. And that's all that matters. It will carry me to where I need to be next, and I'm sure I'll meet up with Larry on high ground when I get there, and all my other friends. And I was thinking about some of my closest, dearest friends that have traveled onward in the last year. And I just think about, well, what do I keep again? And it comes back. You keep your love. And then I begin to think about, what do we bring to each other in this blessing call? We bring our love. That's the power. And then I thought about the only two commandments that Yeshua gave to us was to, one, love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And two, to love one another. And so what were we doing but creating the true bond? And then I thought about the quote that the message he gave to the apostles. He said, don't store up your wealth on earth where thieves can break in and steal. He said, put your wealth on higher ground, where it will last forever, and you'll find it again when you go to heaven, or you draw upon it when you need it. And then it occurred to me, oh, that's not just lofty thinking. He was really telling us where our bank account is, and I have drawn on that so many times. So many times. I had a harder life than I ever knew I had. Really, a lot of people could have complained about certain intervals in my life, like when my home burned down, and other intervals that were just about as bad as that. And yet, I didn't see them being that bad. I just drew down my savings account, and I applied it to what I needed to do next. And lo and behold, something great happened. And it all began to make sense now, that everything Yeshua taught us was practical. He is and was and will ever be the most practical of all the spiritual leaders that have ever lived. So many others taught us how to find peace. They taught us how to be in a place of harmony with the earth, or in a place of surrender, that we could learn acceptance and patience and duty and responsibility. But everything he taught us actually came down to a paycheck for eternal living. He is absolutely practical in everything. In everything. And then I began to think about the blessing. So many times I have received blessings from him. And for years and years I have offered blessings for him. Him coming through me, the Holy Spirit coming through me, the Heavenly Father coming through me, giving to the community. And then I realize that I need to say, it may just go into your savings account. It may be something you don't need right now, but he knows you're going to need. And he's paying forward into your savings account. So be grateful for whatever you feel. And it may be something you may say, well, I wonder how that applies right now. Don't worry about it. Just save it in your savings account. It's all going to be there for you. It goes to the high ground, and it's there for you whenever you need it. And call upon it. It may be that you'll just feel good after the blessing, and you'll say, okay, well, thank you. That was great. And then maybe during the next week, you'll come very near to being in a 5-car pileup. But you don't panic. You just know what to do. you know how to pull back, move aside, and it doesn't happen to you. And you'll say, well, wasn't that amazing? How did I do that? Well, that's happened to me many times, kids. It's happened to me many times. Not just that one instance, but many different types of near conflict that became a no conflict. And then I would step outside and see what I could do for other people. So when you put in your savings account, it pays off. And think about that also the next time you pray, the next time you're in meditation. It may not apply to what comes next in your life, but it's there for you. And you're building up treasures on high ground that you can draw upon. And more than likely you will draw upon, because let's face it, life isn't easy. And right now, we need to be building up our savings account. And something else I've noticed also is that when I give to others from my savings account, God will put a matching grant back in. There's no such thing as depleting your savings account when you're giving from your heart, from high ground, the best that you can offer with the love that you have. God will pay you back, and sometimes tenfold. He's always encouraging and rewarding charity. This was talked about by the Apostle Paul. And I love that guy. I really do, because he went through so many transformations. He is a living example of what can happen to a human being. You know, he started off actually torturing and killing Christians. He was just there at the time of so many persecutions. And Yeshua came to him and he said, Paul, why are you torturing me? Why are you killing me? And of course, that comment referred back to what Yeshua taught us, that whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. So he was allowing himself to be personified as everyone who'd been tortured. And Paul was shocked. I mean, he was literally shocked. And he was brought to his knees. He didn't really know what to make of it. But he stopped torturing Christians. And then Yeshua came to him in a blinding light, which literally blinded Paul. And he became unable to do anything until he completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And his eyesight was restored. And he went on to be one of the most sacrificial of all the apostles who gave his life in service. And the strength that he was rewarded with literally became God's outlet into the world. We see a similar example in Peter. Peter started out as a fisherman, rough as a barnacle on a ship. But Yeshua saw potential there. And during the few years they were together and Yeshua taught him, he worked on Peter, because Peter had a temper. And Peter was always armed with a knife and a sword. And Yeshua would reprimand him. He would say, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Just remember that. So Yeshua never stopped working on him. And he made a lot of progress. But right toward the end, he had a prophecy. He said, Peter, you will betray me. And at the end, you will betray me. But I will forgive you, and all will be made well. I should tell you, right before that happened, a few days or weeks. I don't think we've got an exact timeline on this, but it was very, very near the crucifixion. He and Peter had a major shared epiphany in which he called Peter, and Peter's name was Saul, and he changed his name to Peter. Now, Peter means the rock. I'm not sure what Saul means. I haven't looked that up, but I think it was something not so holy. There have been several Sauls in the Bible, and none of them, they were all strong men, but not so holy. And so I'm not exactly sure what that means, but anyway, Yeshua saw that that name needed to be improved, partly because we live by the sound of our name, and our name is a calling. And he clarified to Peter that, Peter, you are the rock. We know now that Peter meant the rock. That's what the name meant. Upon which I will build my church. Upon which I will build my church. And clearly, Peter had not been through a complete attainment of his potential yet. He was still working on it. Because it was after that that Yeshua said, Peter, you will betray me. Three times, you will betray me. And not only did he betray him, he ran and hid. He became a coward because he felt destiny falling on him, and yet he did not feel like he should die on the cross, and he didn't feel up to the power of reform. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came and moved him, and then he became the apostle who, upon whose shoulders was born the entire weight of the Christian community and the formation of a community that came together and changed the world. So, whatever you think of yourself now, just know it doesn't come even close to your potential. Your potential is so far beyond anything you see. You just have to have faith and let it happen. In the meantime, build up your wealth in heaven, because you'll be calling on that every time you take a new move upward. I can assure you, when I was told I would paint a great painting of Yeshua, I said, you've got to be kidding. There is no way I'm going to just, as one of the most famous artists on earth, see my ego got in the way, I am going to copycat a history of paintings of Christ that nobody knows what he looked like. And they were just copy after copy of the same thing with no real inspiration. And then they became Sunday school pictures. You got to be kidding. I'm not going to do that. I don't have the ability to transform that tradition. And I just said that straight out. And I was rebutted on that. And he didn't let it go. And eventually I got to the point where I said, okay, look, I'm not up to this on my own. There is no way on my own I could do this. But if he shows up, I'll paint him. It would be my honor. Well, little did I know that he was listening when I said that. You got to realize God is always listening. Always. And we think he isn't, but he is. He just doesn't interfere with our life until we ask for his grace, his presence, his love, and his blessing. This is why we pray. One of the greatest messages of Paul that he wrote to the, I'm going to look in the Bible and get this straight. It was either the Corinthians or the Ephesians. I tend to think it was the Ephesians, but they were saying to him in a letter, We pray all the time. We pray all the time, and God is still letting us suffer. And Paul wrote them back, and he says, well, you ask not, therefore you receive not. And they said, well, we pray. How else are we supposed to ask? And Paul said, think upon these words. And he reminded them that Yeshua said, knock and the door will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. So he meant really ask. Like, and I don't mean anything's too little. Ask God, where are my car keys? Please calm my mind. Focus my eyes so I can see them. Would you please? Ask. There's nothing too little to ask for. And he hears everything, but he waits for you to ask. Now, next week, we're going to talk about why he waits for you to ask. And that's a big story in itself. So that'll be my presentation next week. And for now, I want to take some lovely calls from our community. And Jerome, you are on. Thank you for being so patient.
Oh, Glenda, thank you for your light, compassion, love, peace, and joy. Connection with Yeshua, connection with God and Holy Spirit. But I thank you, and I love you. And blessings on my family and everybody there, but blessings on everything you do. And I'll send you something in the mail next week. Fine, thank you.
Okay. Well, that will make me smile.
Okay.
but you have a way of making me smile anyway, Jerome. I love that in your voice. It shows me that your soul is smiling.
Yes, it is. And so is yours. And thank you for helping me smile.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's get... Now, we have someone by the name of Bella Diosa, but I think it's not Bella. Who is it? You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Aria.
Oh, Aria. Okay. Aria.
Hi.
I'm going to change that because
I
get tired of saying, who are you?
Yeah. I give thanks for being here today. Jeff is with me. We are here in Sedona. And I'm just thankful to be on this call. It's been a rough ride for me. I've had nerve and joint pain. Then I got a rash just recently, and it's a weird looking rash. I've never seen anything like it. So we went to the urgent care, which was open today. And the doctor there said it looked like shingles.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I've had joint pain and forever and nerve pain. So it might be that's what it is.
That sounds appropriate, but it's nothing to God. Just ask for it to be cured.
Ah, thank you.
It's a big deal for us because it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I thank God I've never had a chance to experience it directly, and let's keep it that way. But
right.
I do have great compassion because I've had good friends that were suffering. So my heart is with you. And
thank
you're
you.
On my list for today.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. And Jeff just wants to say hi.
Hi, Glenda. It's beautiful to hear your voice again. Yeah.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
And give my blessings to Sedona. I miss it.
Yes, we miss you.
We miss you.
Okay, take care.
Oh, there's nothing like it. There really isn't.
Right.
If I was going to say, if there's a center of spirit on this planet, it would be there. Really. We like to think it would be in the Holy Land, but unfortunately, that's never been at peace since Yeshua was there.
Right.
So I wouldn't go there to find peace, but it still is holy. Okay. Well, we move on, and Stephen, you're on. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Glenda. I'm just asking for a blessing from my good friend, Vanessa, who's still overcoming various forms of cancer. And also for myself, I'm going to be moving soon, actually about 500 miles. So I'm going to be packing up everything in a truck and towing my car behind the truck. And never done anything like that quite before. So just asking for a blessing for safe travels and lots of grace around that. And then finally a blessing around, just softening my own heart around this whole vaccine mandate situation. I got into a conflict yesterday with a restaurant. They wouldn't serve me because I wasn't vaccinated. So I was forced with my friend to eat outside. Anyway, I shouldn't have done this, but I gave him a piece of my mind and probably ruffled too many feathers in the process. And well, the whole thing ended up finally, where they, asked us to leave and we didn't want to. And finally, one of the wait staff literally pushed me and spilled my coffee all over myself. It's just one of those weird situations I rarely ever find myself in one of these situations, but I think, I guess I'm just seeking, blessings around, again, forgiveness for myself, and my poor reaction, forgiveness. I definitely am trying to forgive them, which is hard for me to do. And, it's just one of those things which is heavy on my heart, So I guess I'm just asking for blessings around my ability to have more patience and more flexibility around the whole situation that we're all finding ourselves in. It's strange, as I get older, in a lot of areas of my life, I have much greater patience. But in other areas, I find myself having less and less patience. It's an interesting dichotomy. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that.
Well, you're not alone. I'm sure a lot of people have had experiences similar to that, or at least hold feelings similar to that. So we pray that we get through this conflict and this issue as soon as possible, and that we wake up to the fact that our freedom is more precious than anything else. Our integrity is more precious, and our right to determine our life is more precious. And may we surround all of our actions with more responsibility. Along that line, I'm actually really, if I was going to take sides, I would take your side, Steve. But I have to, on behalf of balance and clarity, I have to say, the restaurant has an opportunity and a right to make decisions also. It just wasn't handled right. They could have offered to bring your meal to your car. They could have offered to do a lot of things to make it easy and comfortable for you. But they were rejecting your decision. And you perhaps were inflaming them. So the inflammation works both ways. And that is the way inflammation works, whether it's socially or physically. Whenever any part of your body starts to be inflamed, put some ice on it, or put something else soothing on it, some arnica or some rosemary. That's great for inflammation. And let it calm down. Don't overactivate it. This is the time when we all need to calm down, and we all need to pull back from the conflict, because innately, inherently, These are our brothers and sisters. And you and all of you are our brothers and sisters. And we are one family. And we should not be forced into a family fight by some external manipulation that is probably quite unnecessary. So I think that's enough to be said on that, Stephen. But your issues are always in my prayers.
Thank you. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, you know, I'm ashamed of the way I handled it, and I'm ashamed for them as well. And definitely, you know, it's a good learning lesson, and I'll be sitting with it, you know, for a long time, I'm sure, in my heart. And, yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, conflicts arise, and, you know, it's a growth opportunity for all involved to learn how to rise above the conflict, you know, in the best way possible. And it's not easy. And, you know, and even when you think you've mastered something, you know, within yourself at a certain level, you know, something comes along to just push your buttons that much more, you know, to show you that you've got a long way to go.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, Stephen. You know, and we're with you. We know. We feel it too. Okay. Tara Kim, you are on. How's everything with your family?
That's actually one of the blessings I was calling for today, and thank you so much for asking. My dad's actually in the position of having to make a decision on whether to get a pacemaker or not. We found out there's electrical conduction issues in his heart, but he's also got cognitive issues, and he and my mom are in a point where they need to make a decision, and it's really difficult because, you know, on one hand, it's like the pacemaker would be, you know, could be potentially life-saving, but on the other hand, it's like that whole process, that whole experience, is he even up to it? I don't think he's actually ever even been under anesthesia in his entire life. It's amazing. And he's 86. So I would just like to request a blessing for them to be able to make the decision that is right for their souls, you know, because I don't have any idea what's right here. So a blessing for that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And no one external can make that decision for him. But as I understand, the anesthesia for that does not actually render you unconscious. You're kept totally awake during the procedure. There's just a little tent put over your heart. So the only thing you see is the tent, the physician's work. It's not extremely invasive. And when it's done, they get you up and send you home. So it's not like having a hip replacement or a knee replacement. It's
okay. Yeah.
It's more like having a root canal.
Okay.
Which is not a pleasant thing to go through, but you're not unconscious. And it's not affecting your whole nervous system. So it doesn't really take you under.
Okay.
I have had dear ones who went through it, and they've been through the process, and they said, oh, well, that was nothing. But I'm not going to say that for your dad because I have no idea what his physical condition is, and he is elderly. So I'm just trying to take a little bit of the fear off of it for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, yeah. And then at the same time, we've got our one dog, Shobi. His name's Shobie. He's got, he hasn't been right since we gave him like a heartworm pill after we got back from a trip. And we think he's got some neurological stuff going on now. He's just had a heck of a life. He had heartworm. He's been gone through, had so many toxins in his body. We're concerned that it's kind of in his, you know, in his brain. And he just took a weird turn recently. So we're just doing everything we can. So I'd just like to request a blessing for him as well, please.
Okay. Okay. Animals receive the blessing so well. All right, Tarzan, well, blessings to you too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. I'm going to open Mary's line. Mary?
Hey, hi, Glenda. Can you hear me okay?
Just perfect.
Okay. Well, my goodness, my heart is so full. I at the beginning of this call, Glenda, your message was so inspirational to me. It's one of your messages. I definitely I'm going to listen for the recording and listen again, because I think it was so filled with grace. Thank you for the messages, and thank you to everyone on this call. I really hold you all in my heart, and I gain so much from the contributions of everyone. I think I'm going to change what I was, well, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit what I should say, because now I'm so full of different things. So anyways, the purpose for my pushing my little button was I wanted to share a testimony to what you had said, Glenda. But one of the things that has helped me lately in my walk through life is there, I can call them the three P's. One is establishing a daily practice where I intentionally sit in the lap of God. The other is sincerely praying on behalf of others. And the last thing is to remember to pause at different moments in my life, such as when you send out that beautiful call to prayer on the Sabbath every Friday, and also every day when something arises in my life, I am trying to be mindful of stepping back, taking a pause, centering, so that I can respond to life versus react. And I did find myself as well in a moment of conflict this week that was so it was so not normal, because I try to not be triggered, and that's only because of years of practice of trying to go to God and learn not to do that. But I did find myself in a conflict as well this week, and thank God I somehow in that moment was able to pull back and pause, and I realized that I don't get triggered in my happy place. I get triggered in a place where there is some woundedness and there's a deeper root. And so I could have called it a big, big generalization of conflict, but for me it wasn't. It was a moment of encounter, and so I was able to thank God for that moment and consider it sacred. It's like meeting the Buddha on the road in all things, in things that seem smooth and in things that seem choppy. But the last thing I wanted to say is that, Glenda, my blessing is thank you. It's just thank you to God for all these myriad ways of showing up, including in apparent conflict that sometimes is just a call to deeper reflection. I had this situation where I recently decided I was going to pay a debt for someone who had gotten into some trouble. I was going to pay a debt anonymously because it felt like the right thing to do, and I was going to try to help this person, even though I knew that it would take most of the money I had. And I said to the person I was giving this money to, I know this will help this person, and I know if I do the right thing, God will send his angels to help me. So I testify to you, I received a card yesterday in the mail with a check for the exact amount I gave, with a note that said, "Hey, Mary, the angels told me to help you." Oh. And I just, you know, what to say to God who shows up in all, awesome. I just, oh my gosh, you know, and the last thing is I used to think, oh my gosh, I have to gather all this evidence for people in my life who might not necessarily believe, but I'm learning, no, no, no. All I have to do is testify to the fact that I do believe. I believe in this good and gracious God who watches over us all and holds us through all this stuff that we're walking through. And this blessing does this, and this community does this, and your beautiful newsletter and call to prayer every Friday does this. So I love you and thank you, and I'm going to stop talking now.
Oh, Mary, your life is your testament. Your life is. We try to put it into words, and the words are always inadequate. I find that every time I start talking, I can't get it all out. But I just trust that the energy will be infiltrated into your ability to receive more than is given. And that's a subject we need to talk about at some point. You know, the little seed that we plant that becomes a tree. So sometimes we receive a little and it becomes a lot because it was pivotal in our life. God knows how to give us small things that make a huge difference because he knows exactly what our life needs to become. You know, he doesn't need to send us $1 million. He will send us a right contact, a right person, a right idea, a right opportunity that when we receive and apply it, our life blossoms into something wonderful. So don't this is a message to all of you. Don't overlook the small gifts, because if these gifts are coming from heaven, they're carefully selected. Just think about what comes from one grain of sand in an oyster. Sometimes the most precious pearl you will ever see. So don't overlook the small gifts. Just because you didn't win the lottery, just because you didn't get that big check you were expecting, doesn't mean there's not a little gift there that can become really quite fantastic. Okay, Mary, I love talking to you, but I've got a few more people I want to talk to, so I just send you my love and blessings for the day. And Susan, hello, you're on.
Hi, everybody. It's wonderful. A few weeks I haven't been here, and boy, I feel it. I had other engagements and so forth, but I feel so
we
good.
We missed
to be
you.
And I missed you. I missed you and all of you so incredibly. There are two people that I want to send a blessing to.
Okay.
Two girls. One is Juliana, and the other is Margie. And Margie was crossing a street. Margie's a close friend of Juliana. I don't know them, but I know their dad. And I was at a party, and he was relaying this story. And Margie was crossing the street with her boyfriend, foolishly, like a wide street, and they both got hit. And
Yeah.
Dumb move, and she wound up in the hospital by miracle. She had many things wrong, and her lung collapsed, but that cleared up. So I just want to send lots of blessings for continued recovery. And Juliana is his daughter, and I don't know what she's going through, but he asked for a blessing for her. And certainly to, I don't know the boyfriend's name, but he wasn't as badly hurt as Margie, but he will need, you know, some help too. So I wanted to.
Oh, what a terrible story. I'm so sorry to hear that, but
really.
They are most definitely in our blessing today with much love.
Thanks.
Sure. And you too. Welcome
you,
back.
Sweetheart. Yeah, thank you. Feels good.
Okay. Mara, I'm going to open your line. You're on.
I just wanted to, first of all, to thank everybody in the blessing call and all of the blessing calls preceding for all the wonderful prayers, and to let you know that I have been experiencing little miracles one after another, and I keep thinking about the blessings and anyway, one of them is this last week I had a surgery, or not a surgery, but a procedure done on my right eye that is has been losing more and more sight. And the doctor wanted to try one more thing. He said, we'd like you to have your sight. Well, anyway, mm-hmm. I was a little nervous about it because he explained what they were going to do, and it sounded kind of, difficult. But anyway, so long story short, I got up that morning, and I was feeling, again, just a little bit nervous. And so I asked Spirit to walk with me through the procedure, and that I would breathe in the Spirit, and that everything would go fine. And it did. I'm quite sure that had I not done those deep breathing that you encourage always, and breathed in the Spirit, that it would have been far more intolerable than it was. I went through the whole thing. He said, very well. He said, you've done very, very well. And anyway, if there's anyone that, like me, has been doubtful from time to time in life, these things I'm so grateful for them because they encourage me to keep expecting more help from Spirit. And I can't believe the things that have been forgiven. And I mean, I'm just so grateful. It's like Spirit has been, and Yeshua have been encouraging me by sending me very tender mercies that I don't have any idea where they're coming from. But I'm starting to see a pattern that is really very beautiful. And last week you were talking about the energy from these blessings, and I thought this is really there's nothing more to doubt as far as all your, you know, as what you have been telling us will be helpful to us. And so I just want to say thank you to you and to Yeshua and to everybody. And pray for the grace to keep on receiving. I think he protects me from myself.
I am so glad to hear that. That's just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, you and Mary have contributed something similar that I would recommend as just a common remedy, preventative against hardship or conflict. Mary was talking about pausing, and you talked about taking the deep breath. Well, both of these actions actually give an opportunity for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come into your life. You got to create a little space, you know, because we forget that this is our space around us. God has given us this space, and we're owning it. And you got to open the window. You got to open the door a little bit. And sometimes I think the person I'm knocking for is me, to open the door.
Well, yeah, it's so interesting.
Or the Holy Spirit are standing outside and they're just saying,
when is she ever going to open that door?
Well, at least she'll open a window, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually, of course, I do. But that's the way we are. You know, we go through life being on the defensive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that's bad, because actually having a subtle, non-aggressive, non-offensive or non-judgmental defense allows us to walk through crowds of people and multi-dimensional encounters in life, and
uh-huh.
we just kind of got this little shield around us, and we just walk through as a peaceful little missionary of life and go about our business. But we forget that we put a shield up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant to be offensive or judgmental or exclusionary, but it's there, and we forget to take it down. But but it causes conflict, and that's part of what brings about the conflict. And if you just open the door, everybody, pause for a minute, open a window, take a breath, you'll find everything changes. Everything changes, and you'll be thinking out of a different part of your consciousness.
Right.
And that's very, very helpful.
Yes,
it
is.
Yeah. And when the world would just be too much for Yeshua, he'd go to the desert. So he's no exception.
Uh-huh.
It happens to all of us. Just imagine, just take for a minute, imagine the crowds he walked through who were clamoring for a healing, or they're clamoring on him to, well, if you say you are who you are, show us a miracle, prove it, show us right now, or we're hungry, give us some fish, give us some bread. I mean, like, never stopping, never. Just imagine that. So he would have his little veil of light around him so that he could walk through the crowds peacefully, letting them be the way they needed to be, not judging them, not doing anything particularly about it most of the time, because he came here to transform the world, not to be, micromanaging bit by bit, little miracles to little miracles.
Yeah.
It would have eaten up his life. He came to create a climate in which we can create our miracles. That's the only way to make a full delegation of what needs to be done. And he showed us, through the apostles, how to be in that space. And you're doing it, Mar. I'm so proud of you. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
Mary and Stephen, most of the time. And you're learning from the time you didn't penetrate the veil. You're seeing that it makes a difference. Okay. Well,
and also I want to thank everybody that's had such kind things to say about me. It's very encouraging through these different, through the many years that I've been involved with you. It's been very encouraging to continue on the path when you have people kind of cheering you on. And so I want to thank anybody that has done that for me, which I think is every one of you. But thank
you, Laura.
Well, I love all of you, too. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And have a wonderful rest of your day. And I'm going to open up Christine's line. Okay? Hi, Christine.
Hi, Glenda. I'd like to say thank you for your beautiful words. Especially in your opening, it's always fun to hear you talk about you and Yeshua when you did the painting. I love hanging on your words and this beautiful community. I have a question for you. I mailed you a check around the first of the month of September, and it's still not cashed. So I don't know if it got to you, if it's lost, or you just didn't cash it.
I have it right here.
Oh, good.
I haven't deposited it yet.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your contributions, Christine. They do make a difference. I have had one of those months that has been crazy busy, like on a merry-go-round. And from one day to the next, I don't know what I'll be doing. But
you are so welcome, Glenda. I'll get
everything done. And thanks for checking.
Okay. I just want to comment on the gentleman at the restaurant. I just want him to let that go and not beat himself up and know that he's loved and it's okay and just let it go. And the other thing I'd like to say is follow Gandhi's example. If that ever happens again, just stand up and say, I choose to spend my money somewhere else and leave.
Good thought. Good thought.
I've been doing that.
Right.
I've walked into different places, and if they say something to me, I just say, I choose to spend my money somewhere else. I turn around, walk out. End of story.
Mm-hmm. That's a good handle. Because we each vote by our choice. We do.
Yes. Especially our
Every
money.
Every choice you make is a vote about life.
Everybody
just remember that. We don't just vote at polls. We vote in life. And that happens every day.
But I've found it makes me feel better to think that I'm spending my money somewhere that I'm not treated badly.
Absolutely.
So
I'll go somewhere else. It's a practice of self-dignity.
So I just wanted to give that comment because we don't need to take being accosted or treating, you know, judged or being treated under.
Yeah.
We're all the same. We're all equal. And just the best way to end that and they lose the sale.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Okay. Thank you so much, Christine. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you, Brenda.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open the line to Sandra. Hello, Sandra. We need to make all these comments pretty quick. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hello, Glenda, and I so appreciate you being here and our Sunday calls. Your opening remarks about going through things and what's really important. That love is what we can really take with us means so much to me because I'm in a position of going through everything and I'm the family heirloom keeper and I would just like a blessing to help me sort and organize through what is important and to be efficient with this. And also, I'd like a blessing for my skin. I have a skin condition that I would like resolution for. So just thank you and bless this whole community and bless everybody that we interact with. And may this division that is happening in our country and around the world be resolved with love. So that's my comment. We've had difficulties talking with people that don't think the same way as we do, and it's very uncomfortable. So I'd like, and I think this is happening to a lot of people, I just want to ask Yeshua and the Holy Spirit to let us all vibrate a little higher, walk in love, be loved, so that it catches on to everyone that we encounter and think about.
That's great.
So that's my comment.
And that's what I do. You know, if you notice, I have never entered into a debate about this situation. I've commented in a neutral way to the fact that that it exists, yes, and many of you are going through it.
There's another thing you can say to build onto what Christine mentioned about I choose not to spend my money here, is you can really say, I choose not to have this conversation. I'd rather be speaking with someone that we can have a constructive result. So carry on, have a good life. And I will too.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And God bless you today and always. All right, Sarah, sweet Sarah, you're on. We got to make it pretty quick, though.
You got it. Aloha, Glenda, and this beloved community. There's so much gratitude. It is a miracle to be a part of this community. The wisdom that comes through is, I'm just so grateful, and I love you all so much. And a prayer, please, for a student of mine named Jason, who just lost his beloved mom. And a prayer for all students right now, for all young people. Just a prayer for them as they make their way, and especially students that haven't been served well in our education system. So a prayer for all of them, and a prayer for me that Yeshua knows all my little concerns and that I don't have any stress or fear about any of them, that it's faith and action at every moment and no stress, no fear.
That's great. That's what it is. So God bless you,
yeah.
Sarah, for being a lighthouse among many people walking in darkness. And I try to do that myself. All right.
You do.
Christopher,
thank you.
You're going to open your line. Hello, dear.
Hi, Glenda and everybody. Of course, I'll make it quick. I know that we're over time. I just had to say that I feel, like Sarah was saying, I just feel so incredibly grateful for you all. I just want to say thank you to Stephen and you know, everybody who shared their vulnerabilities, Mary, about conflict,
yeah.
And I have had similar experience. I just feel like that's such a hallmark of this community, is the sincerity of the people's hearts and the willingness to share both, you know, our vulnerabilities, our challenges, as well as our testimonies of the miracles of what we're given. Thank you, everybody, for that. And I wanted to ask a blessing for a friend of mine named Raina.
Raina. Okay, of course.
Someone she's aging and she's having a hard time with a lot of things, and she's really isolating herself without knowing how to do it differently, and just going through a lot of struggles, and it comes out in weird ways to everybody else. So I just want to send a blessing to her. Yeah, and she feels a lot of isolation, loneliness, but then she keeps creating more of it. So I'm not sure how to, just to put a prayer for her healing and her a blessing for her. And then just a comment on the collective issue that people are bringing up. I would like to send out a blessing of that we can, multitudes of us can have compassion for each other. Because whatever the version of changes that you're experiencing, we're all experiencing massive levels of changes. And there's tons of research, psychologically speaking, of how that stress affects people. There's people who are losing position and losing wealth that they've had. There's people who are gaining position and gaining. Our society is shifting in so many ways so rapidly that we're all under a pressure cooker of change. And I would like to see it myself with compassion, and also just pray that we all start to, like you were saying, see that we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all struggling with our own versions of this change phenomenon.
Thank you, Christopher. That's great. Okay.
Thank you, Glenda. Bless you.
I'm going to bring Stormy on the line to offer our closing lesson. Stormy?
Yes, Glenda. Before the call started, this blessing is what I wish to speak upon. And it is to the fact that when I have put my hand upon people's heart and looked him in the eye and said, love is who you are, and the awakening that God allows me to give them, I have received back to me 100-fold and I'm working on the next hundredfold. Henceforth, my bank account is full, Glenda.
Yes, it is. You're a very rich soul. And I love speaking to you for that, among many other reasons. So, well, Stormy, let your bank account be even increased today by blessings from our Heavenly Father, from Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
All of us together. All of us together.
Yes, all of us together. And thank you for being vigilant on the prayer call, regardless of how many show up. I always see a notice that it's been conducted. So I want to thank you for that, Stormy, and encourage people to join Stormy on it's Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 Central Time. So whatever your zone time might be, you call on the same number that you hear on the blessing call. So if you need a prayer, check in. Stormy's going to be there. All right?
All right.
And thank you, Stormy, for being that calm place in the storm, that place where we can go and find peace. And then the storm just goes away, which is a wonderful thing to happen. It's a wonderful thing to experience. I've had that many times when I would go into prayer in the midst of a turbulent world, a turbulent situation. And after the prayer was over, I would say, I wonder what I went into this prayer for. Everything seems so peaceful. Well, the prayer became my new state of being in the world. We're going to talk about what prayer really is in one of our calls, but I think a lot of you already know. So, Stormy, I thank you for being here and for giving us the end topic for the day, and going to set up our recording and close it down so that we can have a very, very peaceful call. Just give me one moment. I had a cat come in the room that shouldn't be here. Not exactly what I want in my lap. She's a dear, sweet thing. While I'm getting it set up, you take a deep breath. Everybody, get positioned in your chair. Relax. Lean back.
And put me on mute.
Take in the deepest breath you can. Feel it expand your diaphragm. And then slowly release it. And as you release it, feel it massaging the entire inside of your upper body, all of your organs, your heart, your liver, your pancreas, your spleen, your intestines. Just let them feel touched and expanded by love so that goodness and wellness can be made contact with them. Okay? And another deep breath. Just let it go as deep as you can. Put your hands on your belly so you can feel it expand. And let it just go as far as it can. And then allow it to cleanse itself and wash away the stress. Now, just be in that way as I offer my prayer to Yeshua, our heavenly brother, who was on earth as we are, that you may know the full compassion of our condition in heavenly quarters, and you come to us not in a state of idealism, but in a state of reality. Whatever we have done or experienced, you too have done and experienced. And you're here to relieve our pain and teach us a better way, because you too have walked the path. And you too climbed the mountain. And you too found the way of God. You too prayed deeply so many times with the apostles. And then finally in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then on the cross, you prayed that God would forgive all of humanity, for they know not what they do. You prayed for the thief hanging on the cross beside you and assured him that he would be in heaven this day. You give us that promise regardless of our life, because our life has not been given to us so that we may prove our perfection. We were born in perfection, and we are given experiences from which to learn. So we ask that you walk with us now, that we may garner the lesson. We may receive the entitlement that God has given us to be sons and daughters of the heavenly Creator, the Creator of all that is, and that we may stand beside you as your brothers and sisters. Not because we're perfect in our way on the earth, but because we were created in perfection, and we are called to rejoin you in our love and fulfill that perfection, regardless of what we have experienced in our walk through life. We now ask that you hear the prayers of everyone, that you come and respond to the calling, and you fulfill the promise that has been given, that we all may have our faith strengthened, and we all may rejoice in the miracle of our life. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me now? And the rest of you will start your prayer. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and rest and just receive. Cease all your thoughts. Let your mind rest. Just be there, a blank slate on which God can write and the Holy Spirit can make a mark and contact you for blessings to come. Bye-bye for now from me, and I look forward to being with you again next week.